Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden here from BBS Radio. And we got a real jam-packed show today. Lots of news. Michael Tao coming on about 20 minutes. But the up-to-minute news is that the president has been acquitted, 52-48 on both charges. Pierre Delecto, a.k.a. Mitt Romney.
Snake Mitt Romney
voted against him. He gave an impassioned speech this morning, teared up, saying, he's a man of God, and God had informed him.
He was
God forgot to tell the other Republicans, but it got to him anyway.
Well, he was tearing up because his eyes were hurting because of the stench, right? The stench of what he was doing. That's why he was tearing up. You know, I don't know what he thinks he's going to approve.
Well, I know. Look, if you're a politician, and if you've been in it for a while, you've learned that whatever you think is in your best interest monetarily or politically, that's what you do. And then you convince yourself that's the absolutely moral thing to do. So yeah. Romney figures he'd much rather be, you know, he can't be president anymore. He'd much rather be the maverick, the guy all the press goes to. He can go up to Aspen and get awards from the Democrats for his profiles and courage, and he thinks that's a lot better than being part of the team.
But you know, let's not even talk about him. He's such an idiot. I think I read a thing of Ben Shapiro had a tweet yesterday where he said, I got to think that Trump made a deal with Satan. He said, how else? There is no way, no matter how smart of a statistician you are, that you could have the run of luck that Trump has had, right? The Democrats are horrible in impeachment. The State of the Union speech, great. Who could have scripted better? Nancy Pelosi just ripping up the speech, looking like a complete idiot, looking awful. And then the acquittal today, right? It's just, you know, and then Joe Biden, meanwhile, is tanking, and we can get a whole different story. So if you're Trump, you couldn't have played this out better. I mean, his approval rating in Gallup at 49%.
Highest ever. It's just amazing. And the other one is the Republicans in that survey had an approval of 50%, which hasn't happened in a decade and a half.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, things are really going great for Republicans and for Donald Trump. Democrats know so much. The Iowa caucus, you got to remember the election was Monday. This is Wednesday afternoon, and they're finally up to 85%.
Here's the thing. The DNC took over. So this is...
That 12 DNC people are experts in rating things.
Right, and experts at saying, okay, oh, look, no, we can't have this guy win. We can't have Bernie. So Bernie Sanders here, the poor Democrats, won the popular vote, right?
But he and... Not now. He's slightly behind.
He's slightly behind. Well, that's because they got involved. They're like, okay, we got to rig this.
Well, you have to remember, and it's not their fault, but this is a Democratic place. They're adding everything up and stuff, and they have low flow toilets, so flushing down all those Bernie ballots takes a while.
It does take
a while.
You
rip them up, and then you gotta get a plunger and everything else.
And they were trying
very difficult.
They're trying to burn them, but then all the reporters are camped outside the headquarters.
Yeah, right.
And so that's
fake
news, by the way, everybody. Probably not.
Well, no, don't tell anybody that. Huh? They can't figure it out.
It's like, what a joke. And does anyone have any confidence in it at all? I'm sorry, no. The campaigns are furious. You know, Biden, as far as I know, at least at the last one I looked, doesn't even have enough votes to get a delegate.
No, not yet. It's 5-5, and I think Elizabeth Warren's got one or two.
Right.
But they're 41 altogether, so maybe you'll get one. But maybe the leading national candidate in the state that should be favorable to you, and you can't even get one delegate?
I mean, wow. And they've spent if you're the candidate, you spent millions of dollars there. So again, you couple that with what I thought was an out-of-the-ballpark State of the Union speech last night. I'm just saying, from a TV producing point of view, right, I had, you know, 40 years in television, you couldn't have done it better. So he would say something, and then he'd point to a crowd, and there'd be, you know, bring tears to your eyes, the family. Then how brilliant, reunite the soldier with his family. What a surprise.
Townsend
there.
Williams, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was great.
Well, you know, originally Reagan was the one who introduced the idea of introducing people in the balcony. He was the first one to do it. And of course, other people have glommed onto that. Every president since has done it. But he came up with a new one, and I call it the two-stage firecracker. You ever been to the fireworks 4th of July? Has two stages, goes boom, and then it goes a second even bigger one,
right,
and everybody just breaks into the applause. That's what he did, you know. He'd talk about the families there, and the dad and the father was off in Afghanistan, and then boom, here comes Townsend down the Williams.
Right. No, and
the
whole
kids greet him. I mean, and everything was a two-stager. Eventually, I got used to it, but the one that got me was the the Air Force, not the Air Force, Space Force. The kid wanted to be a pension. And then they zoomed him back in his great-grandfather, the last of the Tuskegee Airmen.
He made him a Brigadier General. And I think it was clever. He forced the Democrats to at least occasionally appear enthusiastic, although every so often they kept cutting away to shots of Nadler and Schiff. No. I don't know whose idea it was to make them sit next to each other, but I don't think that was a very good idea.
Stardust twins.
And then Nancy Pelosi, let me back up. I don't know if Trump snubbed her or didn't snub her. They said he didn't shake Pence's hand either. However, it looked like
she put out her hand and turned away. But doesn't matter. She already started when she said, here's a president, rather than the traditional, it's my honor and distinction to here's the president. So she starts it. He didn't shake her hands. And then she was just doing a hissy snip the entire hour and 20 minutes.
And then she ripped it up. And that was.
That was so great. That was, you couldn't have planned that. For Nancy Pelosi to admit that Donald got under her skin.
Well, and again, it was a great speech. Even CNN and MSNBC had to agree it was an okay speech. And then the Democrat response, I'll give them this. What do you do with that, really? You don't have time to respond to it. And how do you respond to it? The economy's great. So they did their typical, hey, I know everything sucks out there for everybody. And people are like, no, it doesn't actually at all. Things are great here. And they're like, no, it does. You have to fill potholes with dirt. It's only in a Democrat city do they have to do that. In other cities that are
they actually have
public works departments that fill in the potholes. So
it's an impossible job that nobody's figured out correctly how to do it. And Governor Whitmer certainly didn't figure that. She's an attractive figure, but by the end, it was just these mean faces.
Even Rachel Maddow was like, well, she did fine.
Oh, God, very fine.
But I don't know what they were expecting them to do, right?
Well, you do. Every time you expect this is going to be your big chance on the national stage, sometimes it destroys you. Bobby Jindal literally destroyed his national aspirations.
It was better than Nancy and Schumer last year. Right. That was an awful one. So, what do you do? If you're Trump, and I guess it cracks me up when they're saying it was partisan. I'm like, no. It was like helping his campaign. You're kidding me. A president would actually use a national platform to promote his reelection campaign. Certainly Obama and would Jeff no, and the Bushes no, never would they never. Do that. Oh, give me a break.
Well, the one that really got to the Dems and therefore is the high moment is when the president awarded the Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh. Who has stage 4 cancer. And it was afterward, because I listened a lot to CNN and MSNBC. It's so much fun after a Republican triumph.
They're just awesome.
Oh, they were just, how could they give it to that racist misogynist? That's terrible. Finally, the Republicans have figured out, hey, we've got to honor our own. We spent all our time honoring their, it's okay for Obama to give it to Jesse Jackson or Harvey Milk, but no, you can't give it to Rush Limbaugh. Well, the president stick it. I'm giving it to Rush Limbaugh, and they awarded the medal right there by the First Lady. That was just great.
And then to follow it up today with being acquitted the impeachment vote. And almost in a way, I think Mitt Romney plays into Trump's hands too, because he comes across as so rotten and so evil. The Democrats you expect, and everyone was on. I think it's pretty clear. We were talking about this last night. It's like, oh yeah, the impeachment vote's tomorrow, or the conviction, right? You forget. I think that's acquittal. I think backfired on the Democrats. And later on in the show, we'll take your calls on that too and see what you think. But it backfired on them. What it really did, I think,
well, give
was
people
it came
phone
back
number,
around. Okay. Okay. Here's a phone number to call in. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We're going to have Michael Tao on in a second. We just kind of want to wrap this up. But one of the things I think that it did is everybody's calling him, Burisma Joe Biden, right?
You say Biden, you think Hunter Biden, stripper, Burisma. That's what you think of the name Biden. As a candidate.
I think it has. And I think if you're the Democrats, you can just tell they're floundering. The other thing, I think the weirdness of the vote in Iowa shows there's no coalesce behind any candidate. Now, granted, they hadn't coalesced behind a Republican candidate at this point in 2016, but still, they weren't so, it was kind of all establishment guys and Donald Trump. Here you've got socialism, another key point.
You have socialists and billionaires, they all agree that taxes ought to be higher because they got billions, so they don't care as long as you don't tax some of their wealth. And otherwise, they want everything free, 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 right. free, free.
And Chuck, this was brilliant on Trump, too, to talk about the valiant effort of the people of Venezuela, once again, forcing the Democrats to clap.
Right,
and that's socialism, you know. I mean, that
sucks.
Socialism is bad, bad, bad. That's why this guy's here and we're supporting
also,
him.
He gave a conservative rally cry. You know, he didn't get, you know, pro-life. No. We're pro-life. And here's the result of pro-life. And the little girl, the mom, who was great.
Who was crying.
He was crying. And they were great. We're for religious liberty. And everybody cheered for that. You know, abortion, liberty, schools. We want choice in schools. I mean, it was just the greatest hits of the conservative movement.
Well, and I gave it, as Chuck was teasing me, I gave it my James T. Kirk Award, right? I mean, yeah,
that's high for Julie. It doesn't come in. For Mitt Romney, it's a message from its God. For Julie, it's Mitt Romney.
Channeling Star Trek. But I mean, it was one of those speeches where if you listen to it, it was like, yeah. I mean, if you're a Democrat, you're just like, we're doomed. But if you're an average American, you're cheering blue-collar workers' victories, you're cheering job victories, you're cheering people getting off of welfare. And did you say the Democrats didn't even cheer that? Because they're like, no, we want people on welfare.
Well, that's what Tlaib said. Tlaib came out and said, that's awful. He threw people off welfare. No, they got jobs. You may not know about that kind of thing, but...
Anyway, so we'll talk more about that later. But we wanted to bring in, if you guys have been, people have listened to our show, are familiar with Michael Tao. He is a brilliant blogger at clearerpicture.net. He writes for AM Greatness, American Thinker. He's been in Real Clear Politics. And you know what? We wanted to bring him back on this impeachment acquittal day because, Michael, you've got a new column, I think, that's going to go up in American Greatness. But you get into, and you know, you were the first ones to turn us onto this, and we've done our best to educate. You're the one who points out that this entire, the Mueller report, the impeachment premise, the why is Trump calling Ukraine? When he talked to the Ukrainian president about CrowdStrike, that is significant because you showed, I think, and we'll have you talk about it here.
Eventually.
Once I stop talking, because I'm talking. The Russia hack that wasn't. So let's bring back again, first time on our podcast, Michael Tao. Michael, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Nice to see you guys look like.
I know.
Oh, there he is. Wow.
This is what we look at.
That's great. A little bit James Carville, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going fast. Sean Henry from CrowdStrike actually also.
Oh, there you go. And we saw before, I don't know if people could see it, you have your dog with you. We keep forgetting to kick our dog out when we do the show.
Oh, okay. So Julie let him in, and he, you know.
It's a she.
She, hoping she will do her best.
Line.
All right, bring ours in. Well, you show us yours. We'll show you ours.
Oh my God! What a cutie, a Pomeranian.
Yeah. Vicious. She's an attack Pomeranian.
Yeah.
Oh, you're fine, Nomi.
Okay, I know. So people that if you hear barking, it's either Michael or.
Yeah, we blame each other.
It's an excuse. Yeah, when I bark, I blame the dog.
Okay, so why don't you walk us back and explain why this whole thing, the investigation into Trump, getting on him for asking about CrowdStrike, what do you think people need to know about all of that?
So one thing, actually a remark Julie made when I saw Pelosi ripping up the speech. So the pursuit of impeachment is inexplicable, what they thought they were doing. And my theory all along, and this is an article, it should be out soon on amgreatness.com, has been that it was a distraction to stop anybody from thinking about CrowdStrike and the DNC servers because they can't any scrutiny and the whole story blows up. It's
but that's a debunked conspiracy theory,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they keep saying
exactly,
that's
debunked.
Yeah.
Then you know you're on to something when they call you.
Yeah,
right. It's gotten to that point.
That's the highest compliment.
But when I saw her rip that up, something Julie said a few months ago came back to me that I just thought, did they really just believe their own stuff at this point? Could it really be that? Because it's crazy. How can she possibly think that's going to look good to anyone? And I'm thinking, maybe I'm over making this too complicated. Maybe they're just totally effing nuts. I mean, maybe they just totally lost. Like their followers, like you sort of think, oh, they're taking their followers in, but maybe they're not. I mean, maybe they're really, they're just
That's they crazy. Look behind themselves and go, where's the mob?
And to put Nadler and Schiff up there, it's like, it was unbelievable. Like, couldn't have people less charismatic, more like dishonest, just projecting dishonesty. I mean, it was, the whole thing was unbelievable. But I still think, I mean, there's like no question, impeachment served a function, whether that was a design or not. People stopped talking about CrowdStrike. In fact, most people, so CrowdStrike, is the firm that the DNC hired to allegedly investigate this breach in their servers. They're the only ones who've seen the servers. The FBI accepted their evidence to come to conclusions that Hillary Clinton then used, and it's her only strategy was to use these conclusions. So Hillary Clinton responded to the WikiLeaks emails. She never said, oh, no, I'm not corrupt. No, I'm not incompetent. There's a mistake. No, there's none of that. She said, you know who's informing you that I'm corrupt and incompetent? Vladimir Putin. And this is like an attack on your children. Basically, your children are being attacked when they try to tell you I'm, and he's doing it for Trump.
Right.
That was the whole defense. So the FBI, we didn't know this at the time. So one thing in the article that's coming out at amgreatness.com, hopefully in the next couple of days, is So what happens is Julian Assange announces, I'm going to release Clinton emails. So he says, there's trouble coming for you, Hillary. I got trouble for you. 2 days later, CrowdStrike, in a Washington Post story, that even Mueller, when he describes the Washington Post story, he describes it like a DNC press release. He doesn't mention the post or the article. And he just says a statement by the DNC and their cyber response team. That's what he calls it.
Cyber response team, yeah.
So 2 days after, Assange tells Hillary, I'm coming for you, baby. I got stuff coming out. CrowdStrike releases to the Washington Post that the Russians hacked the DNC server. Now, you have to, right then, you always have to think, not what are they telling me, but why are they telling me this?
Right.
That's like really always what you have to think. So why are they making the DNC look bad? At precisely, so Hillary's server issues were still huge, and Comey was still 3 weeks away from this exonerating her, where he said, people in the past have been prosecuted, and people in the future will be prosecuted. He actually said that. But we're going to exonerate her anyway. So he was 3 weeks from there. So why are they announcing this, that they screwed up so badly they let the Russians in their server? Well, maybe because 2 days before, Assange announced that he had emails, and maybe because they knew Podesta's emails had been stolen in March. They knew something that somebody had.
Well, so, can you imagine sitting in the room? They now know Podesta's emails have been hacked, and they're terrified. They know it's going to say bad, bad stuff. So all of a sudden, what are they going to do? What are we going to do? And somebody says, let's blame it on the Russians. And so that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Nobody's going to believe that. But what else we got? And then it's the greatest invention ever. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. And it didn't just blame it on the Russians. It shifted it to Trump.
Yeah.
Why are they trying? So instead of like the information about her just total unfitness for office, right, her wretchedness. I mean, there's like no way to describe it. The DNC emails weren't that bad. It was mostly Bernie stuff about how she cheated Bernie. The Podesta's emails were a disaster. It was that plus she was actually in favor of fracking, which for us, we don't care, but her base would have flipped.
Oh, yeah.
She had public positions and then separate private positions for her rich donors. The Podesta emails were a disaster. So yeah, imagine they this has never been, what Chuck just said, has never been discussed. They must have done, as soon as they found out, and they knew right away, because he lost the emails by giving his password to a fake representative.
Oh, Google.
Yeah, they knew immediately. So they must have had a strategy right then and said, what should we do? So we know what the end result was. The end result was yell Russia. So when they're on, and all the proof is in her words and her own staff. So when their words came back to haunt them, they started yelling Russia, Russia, Russia to push it all on Trump.
And they haven't stopped for 3 years.
No.
When did it start? When did they start wanting to get Russia? And it's so crowd. So here's another interesting fact. Podesta's emails are stolen on March 21st. Within a day or two, they know they're stolen, right? 5 days later, CrowdStrike is called in to investigate an incident from December, right? That the NGP van breach. it was an issue between the Bernie campaign. And there's these plans. I mentioned that in the article. I don't go into all the details because it's so weird.
Well, that's what's so great about your article. There's stories
planted to make it look like.
No, you really
do a good job.
You really pared it down. You really pared it down.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. But they made it look, they planted these stories that made it look like there might have been a reason to call him in at that point. So three months after the fact, they're called in to investigate something. It just so happens to be within five days of Podesta's emails being stolen. Then that investigation goes to the 29th. Then within a couple days, they start investigating this alleged breach. So there's one allegedly, and the other thing people have to know, which I talk about in the article, is when they say that there's a group of Russians,
yeah,
it means nothing. Like, so what it is they go, here are some techniques that hackers use, right, and here are some tools they use, and maybe here are some IP addresses. We're seeing this common to these 12 hacks. We'll hypothesize there's a group of people that are common responsible. It's not like, when you hear Fancy Bear hack the
PC. They just made that up. I mean, yeah. They just made those names up. Well, let me just to clarify, too, because it could get kind of complicated. The underlying theory that you, I think, prove once again in your article is all the premises of investigating Trump, the Mueller report, getting on his case or talking to Ukraine about CrowdStrike and the Biden thing is all predicated on the Democrat lie that the DNC server was hacked by Russians to benefit Trump. The underlying lie is the DNC was not hacked. It had to have been an internal job, and we'll get to Seth Rich in a second. So the bottom line thing is, and this is what the Democrats and all of this, I think, is designed to keep people from realizing, is it was all predicated on a made up lie that the DNC server was hacked. There was no hacking.
But the second part of that is,
there may have been a hack at some point, but it wasn't how WikiLeaks got their information.
Exactly.
And the second part of it is
CrowdStrike didn't. So one thing is, they found three pieces of Fancy Bear malware. The earliest compiled was about a week before they found it. The second earliest compiled was a day before they found it. The third was compiled after they claimed they found it.
Right.
So compiled is when they take the software out of the high complicated language and put it into a language for the computer, right? It couldn't have been put in the computer till after he claims they found it.
But the other key thing is that CrowdStrike is based on a fallacy. And the fallacy is we, CrowdStrike, can find the source of who's attacking
yes.
you. And you really can't. All you can identify what's the malware used. And in this case, the malware maybe it originated with Russia, but used by thousands and millions
like 12-year-olds in their basement.
Well, you cannot trace back where the person is, but that's what CrowdStrike told the Ukraine. So, your artillery thing was hacked by the Russians. And they find out, no, it yes. couldn't have been.
And it's not just CrowdStrike. There's a book on this called the Malware Industrial Complex. If people do that. So it's a whole, and these companies back each other up. Like, you'll find reports where they're disagreeing with CrowdStrike, but they try to hide it because they never argue with each other. But, yeah, you can't with the kind of certainty that you're going to have sanctions and all this. There's no way. Again, you hear, this group Fancy Bear did the hack, and you think, well, they must have some guys in mind, and they must have a building. No, it's just a collection of techniques, a collection of malware, and they're assuming it's by the same person. Yeah, you cannot, with any certainty, draw conclusions that a certain group did it. And that and CrowdStrike's conclusions, they're like not even good at this. I think Sean Henry, this is just a hypothesis. I'm not saying I have any evidence, but I think when he was, once CrowdStrike president was head of FBI cyber operations, who Mueller promoted to the job. I mean, the whole thing is like unbelievable. Right. I think he must have gotten information on people to get them to go. Because they're incompetent. So 6 months after they attributed the Russian hack, they claimed the Russians hacked some Ukrainian artillery to send the signals to the Russians to get it bombed, right? Well, then like a guy named Jeffrey Carr looked into it, and you couldn't even, the software has no input. It was just a way to calculate trajectory and stuff based on environmental conditions. So you couldn't even get anything in or out of it to hack it. CrowdStrike claimed that some of the malware, and some of the malware also was, they claim was found in the DNCs, or they claimed only Fancy Bear had it. Well, Jeffrey Carr pointed out in 2015, another cybersecurity firm.
Yeah, well, here's my new theory. I've got a brand new theory. I'm introduce it right now.
Okay, drum roll.
Okay, so CrowdStrike's gotten a lot of bad publicity from this. I mean, you know, it's got some good one originally, but then a lot of bad one. So they had to expand out. They had to find different things to do.
Yes.
They reconstituted. Now they're called Shadow. And they were they were the group at, in Iowa, helped do the, the help the whole thing there. And now it's, I'm just kidding.
No, but they're going to have CrowdStrike looking into it. Well, here's the thing, too. So, again,
well, Al Perovich was involved in the, I thought you weren't kidding. He was
really?
Involved. Yes,
oh, yeah. It's all these same players.
Oh, good. Well, then I was right. Even though I was just kidding.
Yeah, you can't do satire. Just
yeah, right.
It, this is true. So the thing is what people need to understand is the whole reason. And the mainstream media has been willingly manipulated and used in all of this. There is no evidence at all that WikiLeaks, that there was some kind of Russian hack of the DNC server. The only reason we think this is because CrowdStrike, a DNC creature, a Democrat creature, told us. They wouldn't even let the FBI look at the server. So when Trump then, so that's bad enough, and that's starting to unravel, and they just make Mueller hurry up and finish his investigation. But then they get this phone call where Donald Trump is asking Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, about CrowdStrike. And I think all of a sudden people are like, whoa, we thought we had everybody. We thought we had buried that whole thing. Because I think, Michael, if there is somewhere out there, and apparently Trump thinks there is, some kind of evidence that if actually really investigated by somebody who wasn't just a total hack, would show that there was no hack of the DNC. I mean, that's...
We know beyond a... So, again, the malware they found was compiled after the date they found it. So it's like, you can't, there's nothing you can do with that at all. I mean, it's done. So the Mueller says, here's another CrowdStrike before we get to Mueller. So for 6 weeks, CrowdStrike monitored the Russians before kicking them off the server. That's their story.
Just so they could,
that's
yeah.
their own story. In that 6 weeks, the majority of the DNC emails were stolen.
Right, right.
Like, so what do you, what, there's nothing you can do with this story to even
it'd be sort of like
even at all. So they're claiming on their own story, once we got the emails, you're looking at them and it's like, well, these emails are dated from when you guys say you were watching the server. Like, what were you doing? Just going, hey, look at the Russians stealing them emails. Doing, like, nothing about it? Like, what?
It'd be like sitting outside your house watching the burglars carry stuff out.
Yeah, seeing
that's
the
exactly saying. We're just monitoring that.
Here's a carton, here's a carton for you.
That's exactly the story. And so some of the malware is compiled after they claimed it was on the server. On their own story, they watched the Russians steal the majority of the emails. The dates Mueller gives for the emails being stolen, some of them were stolen before them. Like every aspect of the story. And of course, nobody is interviewed Julian Assange. Instead, they make sure
they
he's
can't
like
locate
hey, inaccessible.
Him. You know, they can't locate him. I don't know where he's at, you know?
Yeah,
the one person that did, a reporter did, he said, no, it wasn't Seth Rich. It wasn't the Russians didn't give it to me. And by the way, Seth Rich has been murdered and I'm offering it a reward, right? So the only evidence we have from all that, the little that we have is that no, it wasn't the Russians at all.
And I'm not like, a lot of people are really in Assange and I'm neutral, but the fact is they've released 10 million things and there's never been anything they've had to retract once. Whereas Comey, Mueller, these people like lie all the time. And Assange has said, he's maybe hinted. I think the thing he said about Seth Rich is a little more complicated. It may not have been him, but whatever. He said it was not a hack. It was a leak.
Right.
His word is at least as good.
Yes.
As like, and then, you know, the Democrats all of a sudden, the patriotism, the intelligence community, hardworking individuals, not sleeping nights, like working for God. But it's just a fact. His word is better. They made no attempt to, so they had no forensic evidence of their own. They only got it from CrowdStrike, and they didn't even include that in Mueller's report. They make no attempt to actually talk to the one person, Assange, who knows the answer. Instead, the Justice Department, and I'm sorry for the people who think Barr is going to do something about this. You're wrong. Barr is allowing Flynn, Manafort, and Stone, who, by the way, are the only three public figures to question the DNC hack. By coincidence, the three people Mueller went after are the only three public figures I've been able to find who were known for aggressively saying this hack story is like nonsense. Barr's DOJ is personally, he could stop all that. He's not stopping any of
it. One good thing. Most of the indictments come through the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. The U.S. Attorney had Jesse K. Liu, who was just deep state hack, just a deep state hack. So finally, and Trump did this brilliantly, he promoted her to some worthless position in the Treasury Department, looking into God knows what. And now, instead of putting a regular, he's put his own right-hand man in there, and he can do that for at least 100 days. So there's no more kind of like, well, Jesse, do you think we ought to indict people? No, they meant well. But here's another hypothetical meeting. So they all get together, and they say, okay, this Russian thing's really worked out pretty cool. Bob, I apologize to you. That was brilliant.
That's a great idea.
But really, it's so flimsy. All we got is this CrowdStrike BS. I mean, that's not going to stand up forever. And so Comey or maybe the CIA said, I got an idea. I said, we'll get all 17 intelligence agencies to say it's true. And then we put out a report. And the guy went, we can't do that.
That's a lie.
Not all 17. We're not going to have all 17. We'll only have the CIA and the FBI, and then we'll tell them you said it. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Her 17 lies things, her 17 intelligence agencies lies. So four days after WikiLeaks first release, the New York Times published, they get this leak, coincidentally, that the U.S. intelligence agency. So three days after they publish an article with the headline, Democrats say WikiLeaks emails, Russian plot to help Trump. Next day, they happen to get a leak with the follow-up saying, intelligence community is concluding, right? So it wasn't 17. That article says the FBI and some unnamed ones. Then, and this is really interesting, I have a thing on my website about this that I just have to clean up a little bit still, but so on October 7th at like 3:30 p.m., Clapper, as DSI, releases a statement, WikiLeaks stuff is Russian, right? Uh-huh. A half an hour later, after Clapper does that, the Access Hollywood tape.
Right? Yeah.
A half an hour after that, WikiLeaks releases the DNC, Podesta emails. And they'll say, if you Google this, well, WikiLeaks was a half an hour later, so they must be. But it makes no sense, because if you're worried about a coincidence, if WikiLeaks is the one who's reacting, what about the other two? How did Access Hollywood and Clapper happen at the same time? And we know that there was rumors all over the place that WikiLeaks is going to be releasing in a couple of days. There's no reason to think Clapper couldn't have gotten some advance knowledge. So that's the second time she got the 17 intelligence agencies. It wasn't 17. It was Clapper and the Department of Homeland and a Department of Homeland Security.
So the 17 came in early January when Obama ordered the intelligence community assessment. And that's when they said, oh, yeah, it's everybody, Coast Guard.
She was saying it as early as October in debates. Right. She was 17, Hillary was. That there are three instances, and none of them justified. The intelligence assessment in January, it wasn't any intelligence aid. They'll say it wasn't 17, it was 4. No, it was none. Brennan had to pick a team of hand-picked agents from different agencies.
Struck.
They were contractually obligated not to discuss what they were doing with anybody outside the agencies. The report was not breaking policy. It was not sent to any agencies who had expertise on the issues. And they started their investigation in
late December.
It all came from the August investigation. Okay. When Brennan got the intelligence, which looks like it was the Steele dossier. So Brennan gets his intelligence from Britain. So Brennan has denied that he saw the Steele dossier, which interesting is that's true no matter what, because the Steele dossier didn't come into existence until all 17 memos were written in December. So at the time he got whatever he got, he only could have gotten the first like three memos in the Steele dossier. So strictly speaking, even if he saw the first three memos, he didn't lie. He didn't see the Steele dossier.
But here's the thing. None of these intelligence agencies, though, I go back to the main thing, none of them actually looked at the DNC server.
They didn't look at anything. They didn't talk to Assange.
All they did is they called up CrowdStrike, which is a DNC Democrat, you know, child, and said, hey, you guys say that the Russians did it, right? And CrowdStrike said, you got it, baby. And they all said, okay, great. And then, I mean,
but
once
just
again,
go
let me just finish. You would think that somebody in our national intelligence agencies would have piped up and said, hey, shouldn't we actually look at the evidence? And everyone went, no, if you did,
you became Mike Rogers and they tried to get you fired. Yeah. I mean, you piped up and said, we didn't, how could we check whether it's the Russians or not? And they go, shut up.
You're in jail now.
You're not going to be ahead of
things. And so they didn't interview. So there's a crime. There's a witness. And instead of interviewing, that would be Assange, they like bury him. They like make sure nobody can get to him. They like actually, it seemed like they're trying to torture him in there, whatever. Even if they're not, they bury him. So instead of interviewing the witness, they bury the witness. They don't investigate the scene of the crime, and they don't make a big deal about, they're not permitted, and they don't make a big deal about not being permitted. They just accept that. And nonetheless, they, with 100% certainty, draw conclusions about what happened. Oh, and by the way, that witness, he denies their story.
Right?
Yeah. That's the one they don't want to.
And they have written this forever, and they do it by telling any time. I mean, Sean Hannity briefly tried to talk about Seth Rich. And,
oh,
look what happened.
Oh, yeah,
him.
Yeah, right.
And so what they do is they completely come out, they say debunk conspiracy theory. It's like, no, it's not debunked. It's not. And so when I think again, then they freak out again a little bit when Trump, they're like, why is Trump talking about CrowdStrike? We thought that was debunked. And Trump, of course, doesn't care. You know, he's like fake news. And so I think, again, this impeachment thing, just like you said, all of it is designed in part, there are many layers here, but in part to distract everybody from the fact that the Democrats made up the entire thing.
It worked.
Yeah. Now, and Mueller, too, like Trump's supporters, the president, they don't understand something.
Right.
They think Mueller vindicated Trump. No, Mueller said Trump wasn't involved, but he said he won the election because of Russian interference. He just said he couldn't find any evidence. And this is something that's going to come back to haunt them. As time goes by, they're going to start saying this more and more when people are forgotten, like what's going on.
Right.
So Mueller has said Trump was elected in part because of WikiLeaks releases, which were a Russian attempt to get him in the White House. Given the small voter margins in Michigan and Pennsylvania and other states, it's not implausible that those releases actually tipped the balance. Now, I don't even care if Putin did it, because it's that we should thank him, because it's true, right? CNN election interferes and lies, and that's fine, but because they're a multinational corporation, but Putin does it, but there's no evidence it's Putin. So Mueller's job, this I'm sure of, you can look at what he did and see it. His job was not to get Trump. His job was to solidify the narrative that Trump got in office with Putin's help, and to solidify the narrative that the DNC was hacked by Russia. So that wasn't uncovered. And he did that. While all of Trump's supporters were going, in your face, Mueller, you couldn't show. He won. They were not paying attention to the fact that he said the DNC was hacked and that's how Trump got in.
But that's brilliant by them. Right. Just claim victory and you get victory.
They gave you the same thing. People in your face, Pelosi, you failed. Ha, ha, ha. Well, did she fail? Because you forgot about CrowdStrike.
Right.
2 days after they were mentioned, all you Trump supporters like totally forgot about it. You forgot about the DNC servers again. Every time the servers and CrowdStrike gets brought up, boom. You guys get distracted and then think you won, right?
Yeah. See, that's why we wanted to have you on because again, when you really think about this, this was a group of people, like Chuck says, sitting in a room, a bunch of Democrats, trying to figure out how
we're screwed. They've got the Podesta email. What are we going to do?
Blame Russia.
So no, that's not going to work.
It is.
It's going to work. And we can use it for 2022. They're already claiming that you know, Schiff claimed, hey, we can't leave it to the voters because the Russians will come in and influence, and it'll be another crooked election.
And again, and they stop anybody. Anytime you try to say, well, wait a minute, let's go back to the original premise. Was the DNC server even hacked? Did a crime even occur? And boom, they jump on you. They say debunk conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah. And the problem is it's complicated, right? And people want something they can understand in like 20 seconds. And, you know, and I've tried to explain this to other people, Republicans, they're like, really? I'm like, yes.
And there's a lot of misinformation. Like, so there's the one argument. People always go, well, why are you going off doing all that stuff? We know the transfer speeds were like too fast. And no, that's wrong. Actually, the one argument, and I'm not saying this is intentional, but Bill Binney has pushed a bad argument. There are a million good arguments that are conclusive that there was no Russian DNC hack. Bill Binney has pushed a bad one, and everywhere you look, you find his bad argument. It's now Roger Stone used it. I wrote Roger Stone an email saying, you need somebody who's an expert on this. You should call me. Instead, they quote Bill Binney's argument, which is a bad argument in their thing. Okay. Everywhere you look, there's Bill Binney. So Bill Binney met with Pompeo. He said what he told Pompeo. Everything was wrong that he told Pompeo. So maybe Pompeo's corrupt and Binney gave him evidence, gave him ammunition. If he's not corrupt, Binney just killed our one chance to get this in front of the president.
Yeah, but so, you're assuming that a bad argument that everybody can understand is worse than 20 good reasons that nobody can understand.
Well, the problem with the bad argument is if any smart people who are looking at it, who may have something they can do about it, who aren't corrupt, you killed it.
All you have to say is it's the Chinese. The Chinese are trying to.
The coronavirus.
I mean, that's
how Al Perovic started. CrowdStrike, he started with a false Chinese attribute.
I think, though, too, one of the things, again, that they were very worried about, and the impeachment thing, like you said, distracted. It's like a magician's sleight of hand, right? It's like, look over here, impeachment, obstruction to Congress, and over here is CrowdStrike, which is the main thing. I mean, Trump. There's some people, hopefully, please God, there are some people in his campaign who are in his administration who are smart enough to understand this. And I'm hoping that, again, that's the reason he's talking about CrowdStrike. Because
it's very tough, though, because except maybe Rand Paul, and he's only been a little skeptical. These senators get up and you can almost, to me, it seems like they're scared. Like they go, I believe the Russians hacked the DNC.
Oh, I know. It's like, no,
well, John Kennedy stood up to that for about a half a day.
Yeah.
And it just
And then Hillary Clinton sent him this Twitter thing saying, weren't you in the room when the intelligence community said that the Russians, and all you can think about is Chuck Schumer. Don't mess up the intelligence community.
Yes,
they have
6 weeks
to get you. So right. Yeah, like it's really tough. Like Tom Cotton, like you can find videos of him. And by the way, I believe the Russians hacked this season.
Yes.
I don't tell anybody about what I've been downloading on the internet.
Well,
please.
Hugh Hewitt, who was on our old station, Salem, he goes all the time, says the first thing Republicans have to say is, I acknowledge the Russians hacked the election. No, Hugh, that's opposite.
It's like saying, you know, the crime, you know, I mean, we the first thing we acknowledge is that there was a murder. And you're like, but there's no victim, there's no murder, no one investigated. Let me ask you about the Seth Rich thing that came out. So Seth Rich, of people, he was a person who worked with the Clinton campaign. There have been some conspiracy theories, but I think there's something possible to them, that he's the one who actually downloaded the information and then gave it to WikiLeaks because he was unhappy with Hillary.
Yeah, I've in contact with other researchers, and a lot of them want to believe that Seth Rich, and I don't want to believe.
But did you see?
Don't want to believe. But there's some weird stuff. There's especially a thing, a researcher on Twitter called Larry Beach realized something that kind of blew my mind. So Mueller says that on July 14th, so Guccifer 2.0 is this fake hacker who came out the day after CrowdStrike's announcement that the DNC was hacked and took responsibility for it and planted clues that he was Russian. That's essentially.
Yeah.
I have an article on my site, theclearpicture.net, called Julian Assange, CrowdStrike, and the Russian hack that wasn't, that lays it out. So anyway, Mueller says that on July 14th, Guccifer 2.0 sent a file to WikiLeaks, July 14th, right? When that Fox News report on Seth Rich, that they forced him to retract,
right.
They said that 96 hours after Seth Rich was murdered, which would be July 14th, exactly, the FBI got into his computer. Right. So Henry said, doesn't it look like that maybe they found out which files Seth Rich had sent and had Guccifer 2 send? And I was like, holy mother of God, this is like the other thing that there's three things that are, it's none of the evidence that people are saying. I think a lot of the people pushing the Seth Rich thing are discrediting it, to be honest. But there's three things that freaked me out. Larry's observation. That the moment that Fox News report said they had access to Seth Rich's computer, Mueller's telling us somebody we know is a fake Russian sent WikiLeaks file. Second thing is Guccifer 2.0 at first released only documents from Podesta's emails. There's no evidence they knew about the DNC leak. If Seth Rich was killed, and I'm not saying he was, but I think it needs to be investigated. They didn't know about that. And what happened is they accidentally put him in a position to expose them by trying to put the Podesta hack onto the DNC for reasons that make perfect sense. I could explain them, but it doesn't matter. So what happens is they say Podesta's emails were stolen if this happened. We need to like have some hack on this, but we don't want to say he gave away his password to his Gmail account. We don't even want people to know about that in case his emails aren't released. And we don't want it close to the Clinton campaign because she's already email on secure servers. So let's say the DNC was hacked and we'll have Guccifer 2 release files from Podesta. And no one's going to notice they couldn't have come from
right.
Suddenly, I think it's about a week before Seth Rich is killed, Guccifer 2.0 starts releasing DNC files. Right, instead of Podesta files. That was the first thing that I was like, oh, no.
No.
That's weird.
No. The third thing is, and this is really bad, when there was a rumor that the rumors were Assange is going to any day now say who the leaker was. There was this woman, Robin Young. She was a penthouse playmate. She had this flirtatious relationship with Guccifer 2.0. He gets into this conversation with her, and this is something they could have made sure it gets played up if Assange had said Seth Rich.
Okay.
So it never got any play. The researcher, Adam Carter, who turned me on to this, discovered this. Oh. He said to her that he contradicted his story that he hacked the DNC and said to her that Seth Rich was his source at the precise time where everybody saw. So he tried to discredit Seth Rich, in other words, totally contradicting his earlier story that it was a hack instead of a leak, at the point where people believed Assange was going to say Seth Rich was a leaker. So those three things to me are kind of like this. It's not conclusive, but this is not a crazy conspiracy theory.
No.
And you also have the lost body cams, the police, which is Epstein, you know.
Well, and coming out today, Judicial Watch got their hands on and released some more text messages between Strzok and Page. I don't know if you've seen this, but in there, there's a little bit of a conversation about Seth Rich and the investigation. And then some FBI agent says, I squashed that. So that's our actual words. I squashed that.
Hey, yeah, there's a lot to be worried about there. Like, and Assange did offer that reward for, and you might say, why didn't Assange just say, you can't say, oh, he doesn't reveal his source. His source is dead. His source isn't dead because everybody thinks it was Seth and Aaron Rich, his brother. Uh-huh. And Aaron Rich doesn't want, he's suing anybody who, he's trying to shut up anybody who talks about this. So right. Assange does have a reason not to, if he's, which he clearly is, into respecting his sources. One of the sources is still alive. If Seth Rich was a source, his brother was probably too, and doesn't want it revealed.
Well, also that's his get out of jail card in the U.S. I mean, you know, if they do extradite him to Virginia, you know, then he can kind of go, okay, Barr, do you want to continue?
I just can't believe they're going to let him like, and he can't do anything with that information because the media is not going to let it get out.
Hey, listen, Michael, we got to let you go because we have a much shorter time than we used to. A clearer or a AM greatness. Look for your article and a clearer picture.
Next couple days.
Yep.
Next
couple days. Picture.
It's wonderful. I've read
and
it.
And my Julian Assange CrowdStrike article is pinned at the top of my website. So that's
check it out.
Check it out.
All right. Thank you,
thanks
sir.
For having
great
me.
To see you. Great
nice
to see you.
Say bye to your dog. All right.
I'll bye now.
Michael Tao, there we go.
That's great to see him.
Oh, it's good to see him. Okay. We got a few minutes for phone calls. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Go ahead and call in. We can talk about that. Go back to the impeachment. Go back to all kinds of stuff. Barney is texting in saying the Russians better leave Amy Klobuchar in the race. Barney has a secret crush on Amy Klobuchar. Yeah,
I don't get that one.
No. The bottom line is all of this, and what it is that underlying it all is this an attempt by the deep state and the Democrats to overthrow the duly elected president of the United States. They try to do it through these fake calls. They try to do it through the fake impeachment, everything. So we got, well, that was quick. Jan Cook.
All right.
Up. Hey, Jan.
Yeah, Jan.
Thank you for calling in. How are you?
Hey, can you hear me?
We can.
Well, I just wanted to let you know I have you live right now on our watch party on Colorado Freedom Force because I'm practicing for Friday.
Yeah, uh-huh. We're going to have you on Friday. Yep.
So hopefully they'll hear me and hear us so that, yeah, I'm just testing it out.
Testing.
Jan, what a concept. we just try to wing it.
Yeah. You
should, and cross our fingers.
So. Iowa Democrats should have hired you before they put the app in.
Yes. And,
well,
you'll be
and I will just say, since your guest, Michael Thau, was just, you know, going over some of the issues with this whole impeachment sham. Thank goodness it's over. But I think we can all have a, you know, maybe a few hours of a sigh of relief, and then who knows what they'll come up with next, right?
Oh, they'll have another. It
races. I don't know.
No. They'll have something new. I mean, you know, they can't go by.
I think, though, Jana, how would you, to me, this has been, since the first of the year, what was supposed to be the Democrats' victory. I mean, Trump is just on a roll, and he's doing it on his own through his accomplishments with this administration. But also, the Democrats keep handing him, you know, chocolates and chocolates and chocolates.
Yeah, and I mean, if you just look at, I think, a metaphor for what Nancy Pelosi did in behind Trump yesterday with the tearing up of the speech, of the State of the Union speech, I think is a metaphor with what we can expect. For some reason, I think they think by projecting to their resistors, if you will, that's the entire American population. I think they're making a calculated mistake.
I think so too. All right. Well, Jan, listen, we will, I'll get in touch with you later about the time and everything for Friday. But yeah, we're going to, Jan Cook, everybody knows who Jan Cook is, but if you live in Alaska or something, she keeps track of a lot of things going on at the state legislature, a lot of really scary stuff going on there. Wow. And they've got websites, and you need to get on their newsletter. I get it too. So Jan, we'll be talking with you again on Friday.
Sounds good. Talk to you
then. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Let us know if the test works too. Charlene is texting in. Wow. Excellent information from Michael Thau. Looks like we're not going to outsmart the existing intelligence community, and everybody's afraid of them. Maybe Trump can replace them. You know what? I hope so, Charlene. I hope that that if Trump gets reelected, which I think he will, I think he's going to have a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
I think even look at how, when Donald Trump first came in, he made the mistake, which is totally understandable, of like actually trusting people, trusting members of his cabinet, trusting people
Big
in
mistake.
The White House. Yeah, he knows that now. He knows that he's got a small group of people he can trust. He trusts them. And I think, number one, I think Christopher Wray was at Capitol Hill testifying today.
Oh, good.
Acknowledging that, okay, like the FBI, that whole FISA abuse thing, that was bad.
That was sloppy.
Thank God we have
sloppy.
A training video out now.
That'll solve everything.
For real. That was
we got the training video. Because it was all the little guys anyway, wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
It was all the little guys that screwed up. And thank God the big chiefs, like myself.
Trump will get rid of them. Because, again, you look at, it all ties together in that they didn't like Trump. They don't want the voters to vote. And that's what I've been putting out and tweeting and on Facebook. The Democrats don't want the voters to vote either. That's why.
No, they said it. She said, we can't leave it to the stupid voters to get rid of Trump. They may not do it. That's how dumb they are.
Right. Although we don't have a candidate. So they use their impeachment to tank and hurt their, I guess, their main establishment candidate. But this is where the uniparty comes in. And I know you're like, Julie, you're going too far down the rabbit hole, but you can't look at this stuff, I believe, and say, you know, it certainly raises questions. The uniparty, Democrat and Republican, do not want what Trump was touting last night, a blue-collar resurgence. They don't want happy Americans. They don't want successful Americans. They don't want prosperous Americans. They don't want optimistic Americans. They want Americans and
mad,
an America
pathetic, desperate,
chaotic, where they have to simply turn to
the government.
The government, the establishment guys. And you got on the Republican establishment guys like Mitt Romney. I mean, let's just look at Mitt Romney and Bain Capital, right? Who do we think Mitt Romney cares about, right?
Yeah, right.
Do we think Mitt Romney cares about the blue-collar collar resurgence.
The 47% that
Mitt Romney is like, hey, I destroyed jobs. We got fired because of Mitt Romney.
Right.
So Mitt Romney is like, I destroy jobs. I don't build jobs. And we, the last thing we wanted, those pesky, silly voters and Americans being optimistic and saying, hey, here's what we expect of our government. They're like the Democrat thing. You need to get your own bucket, your own shovel, and a pile of dirt as if dirt is going to fill in a pothole anyway. Hello.
Right.
You know, don't expect us to respond to your needs. We're too busy, you know, doing our deals and making, raking in money from
you. Fill in the potholes. We'll take the money to the bank.
That's right. That's right. And that goes on either side. And that's why Trump and his speech last night, when he stood up to them and he gave Rush Limbaugh the medal.
They hated that. The left is, he's a racist. He's a misogynist. How could they possibly do it? And finally, only Trump would do it. Can you imagine, even though he got along with George W. Bush and everything else, he would have been terrified to give a medal.
Give a conservative. And look at, here's the thing, too. I think that's a Trump administration, I hope, also sending a message. Look at how the social media silences conservative voices, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like ours, saying. and this is Trump saying, hey, heck with you. You know what I mean? I'm going to give him the medal. I'm going to sit him right up there. We're going to honor him. And, you know, and I think everybody in America, whether even if you don't like Trump, you should take heart in the fact that Trump is standing up for your right to not like him and do your own podcast,
their own radio show.
They don't like that. Those pesky voters, once again.
I mean, pretty soon. Well, what are these podcasts? We got to start censoring them.
That's right.
We got to stop that going on.
Yeah.
Even Ted Cruz has one. I mean, that's not loud, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, Ted Cruz got a big podcast.
Ted Cruz has a little bit bigger than ours right now, the number one podcast in America. You can just see the Democrats going like bonkers over
What? Can't Google cancel that or something? Yeah. I mean, what are you talking about here?
So I don't know. That's why I said going back.
What's BBS radio anyway? That sounds like something from Russia.
That's right. It stands for Russian radio. We're going to have to cancel them too. You know, I think it is a good day in the United States.
Oh, it's a great day.
The speech was great. The economy.
Whittle is great. Romney sucks. How could you do it? That just sums up life.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, you heard the Democrats all saying, well, we're going to continue impeaching him.
Yeah,
I'm like,
keep it up.
You go for it. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Have a great debate on Friday, too. That'll be wonderful. By the way, we're going to have Ted Tripp on Friday, I think.
Okay. Oh, here. Oh, good. People are saying, hey, Julie, just want to say I'm happy you guys are streaming live now on Facebook, even though I'm tied up with a real estate client. That's all right. That's kudos to a president for a great State of the Union speech last night. Thank you.
Who was it?
Linda.
Oh, okay.
Linda, so thank you for that. Here's the thing about the podcast. Remember, too, if you've come in late or Michael Tao, some of his stuff was kind of complicated. Remember, you can go to two ways to do it. Okay, it's going to all be archived, and I think I figured out how to do this at Chuck.
We
and
think
at Chuck. And
we're
Julie,
learning on the go.
Really, at chuckandjulie.com. That's our website, and also at bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie Show. If you go down there, there are archives. And one thing, we've had a little bit of confusion sometimes from some people. We don't come up on BBS Radio until right at 3 o'clock. So if you go there, it's not like a radio station.
But something else
where
on.
There's something else on.
Well, there is something else on, but it's a different show.
It's a different show, and it's on radio station one. So if you just go to our link. So I think that's going to do it for us for right now. What time is it?
What time is it?
Oh, wait, I know we can't. What's it? Oh, wait, hang on. The BBS radio folks are communicating. I apologize. They have to put glasses on. Okay, good. They're going to start changing it, just so you know. At BBS Radio, these guys are amazing, by the way. If anyone out there is thinking, hey, if Chuck and Julie can do a podcast, BBS Radio, they're the ones to call. They're going to start changing that, so they'll be able to see us 5 minutes. Oh, you'll see us like maybe getting ready for the show. But 5 minutes before the show starts. You can go to bbsradio.com or chuckandjulie.com. On Friday, excited about this, the return of the Sword of Soros, Ted Trimpa, coming on. The last time we had him on, he's a Democrat strategist. He was in a sad mood. I can't imagine that it's gotten better.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he likes Buttigieg.
We got that. And then as you heard, Jan Cook is going to come on to get us up to speed on some of the bills coming in the Colorado legislature.
That'll be fun. That'll be great.
Wait, hang on. They're sending us more messages.
More messages.
Okay. Okay, they're going to start airing the banner 5 minutes early. Oh, perfect. So the show, so they know, so people will know the show is on. So if you want to go to
PBSRadio.com.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, he can explain it on the air. Okay, hey, yeah, come on up.
Our California master.
Yeah, that's right. Can you go ahead and explain it?
I can. Thank you very much for allowing me to be a part of your show. I just love your show. I love it. Love it, folks. If you're like me, you know why you love it. And so do I. So thank you. Great show today. We'll start airing the banner 5 minutes early. And that way people will see the banner, know the show's on, and they just won't hear anything. They'll just see the banner, the live stream will start. And that way, you know, it'll be on time. That's just something we wanted to add in later.
That's a great idea.
But
that's
we
perfect.
Do have all players fixed. All codes are fixed. You could see this live on our homepage, on most of our pages, actually, including Chuck and Julie's program page. So it will be live. We have two independent streaming systems now, so the recordings will be recorded twice with two separate systems and independently streamed via video with two separate systems.
Wow.
And that way the redundancy is there. We're just starting this roll. It's a lot of fun. We've been able to do it for years and years, but most people didn't have the bandwidth capabilities nor the software, really, such as the Zooms and the Skypes. But people can access, most people can access their USB cams and get onto video. This is the way to go.
You got to put on makeup, but other than that,
you
little powder
always
on.
Look
Chuck.
Great.
All right, well, sir, thank you once again.
Thanks again.
Thank you for everyone for listening, and we'll see you all on Friday.
Bye bye.